is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. How pleasant it is to dwell in the house of the Lord. My friends, you're in the house of the Lord because you're listening to the message of the Holy Ghost. And I say that because I'm going to read to you some Bible verses and we're going to preach from the Bible. And that's not just Tex Mars speaking, friends. I believe we've got to stick right by that Bible. And if you don't veer away from it, you will know the truth. And that's the most important thing. You know, you don't have to trust me. You don't have to say, well, Tex Mars knows anything at all. Why, I can be a blooming idiot. But when I read the Bible, I suddenly become the most intelligent person on earth. And you can be too. You know, somebody once said that they didn't understand when I was a member of a church some years, many years ago, before I became a pastor. And they said they didn't understand why I took time with certain people of the church. There was a black man going to that church who was quite poor. He didn't wear the best of clothes. And sometimes he had to come right from work and he just didn't look the greatest, although he tried to. And, you know, he didn't have very much good communication in terms of his language. He never used profanity. Oh, no, he was a real man of God. But he didn't have any big words to use when he prayed. And when they called on him to pray in church, some people were just embarrassed for him because, you know, he just was uneducated. And I actually had a few friends back then that they didn't understand why I enjoyed praying with that man so much. Sometimes I would seek him out and ask him to pray with me. And we would go over privately into a place and we would pray together. And they didn't know why I liked that man's prayer so much. He was so uncouth. And he had no real education. They didn't understand it. But let me tell you something, my friends. That man had the power of belief. He had the power of faith. When he prayed, he believed it would happen. He actually believed that God could heal. And God could save. And God could rescue. And I wanted to be part of that man and his beliefs. I wanted to have the faith he did. I wanted to see a saint in action. Oh, my friends, it's not the one that has the most money or dresses the best when they go to church. It's the one who says, I know you are real, Lord Jesus. I believe. And that changes everything. And for me, that's what church is all about. And when you're here at Bible Home Church, you see, where the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said he would be there. And I know there's more than two or three listening to this broadcast. I know it. In fact, there's two right here in this studio. So I know Jesus is with us. And as long as we will stay with the Word of God, it doesn't matter how we say it. I may not be the best preacher. I may not say it with the most fancy words. Oh, I have a fancy education. I have certificates on the wall here from North Carolina State University and other schools. But you know something, my friends? These are like pieces of trash when you compare them with the riches of the gospel. I'd much rather have a certificate in my heart that says, I accept you as my servant. You see, friends, I am a bond servant. I'm a slave. And I don't make any bones about it. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And I don't mind bowing my knee to him. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's a great blessing to be here with you today. Now, we're going to continue. Revenge of the Pharisees. Oh, they're getting their revenge. You need to know about this. Revenge of the Pharisees. Our continuing series, exposing the Judaizers and what has been called Messianic Christianity. What is that? Well, you'll hear more about it today and as we continue the next few weeks. We've already been going on this subject for several sessions, but we're going to continue here as we worship. Now, you can write to us. We'd love to hear from you if you have prayer needs. Now, my prayers may be simple for you, or they may be very sophisticated. I am not going to say which. I don't know what God's going to have me do when I put before Him your request. But if you will write to me, text Mars, I promise I will pray for you that your message gets to me. I will read it. I will pray for you personally. And, of course, we always love you to pray for us. You know, sometimes a saint just writes to us and say, Tex, I was just impressed to write to you and let you know that I'm praying for you. That means all the world to me. It means as much as a love gift, actually. And it is a love gift. Come to think about it. Well, you can also send us your offerings, your tithes, if the Holy Spirit leads you to. And if He doesn't, then don't do it. We'll still be here until Jesus says close shop. Now, we have a beautiful song. Elvis has a beautiful voice. Oh, I know. I wish he had lived fully for Jesus. He'd have been a happier person, I'm telling you. I don't know where he's at today. I pray he's in heaven. I know he backslid. But we don't really know what happened those last moments as he lay there before he went on to meet his Maker. I pray he's in heaven, but I know this much. God gave him a voice. God gave him a talent. If he didn't use it for God's glory, that's his problem. And I sure am sorry about that. Wish he had. But I know this much. God gave him a voice that I believe it's very possible we might hear in heaven someday. In fact, we might hear better voices than Elvis's. And he had a gorgeous voice. I do believe that. And you know, the times that I enjoy the most is when I hear Elvis actually preaching the gospel in a way. Every time you sing a gospel tune, did you know you're preaching the gospel? Even if you're alone, you're preaching to yourself because you will fortify your own belief. Here's a song by Elvis Presley, Where No Man Stands Alone. Friends, do you ever feel alone? Do you ever feel you got the whole weight of the world against you? Well, there's a place you can stand. And nobody stands alone there. And Elvis Presley himself is going to sing this for you. I don't know about the messenger, Elvis Presley, but I know this song is of God.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low. In the darkness, as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Like a king, I may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to call my own. But I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to take
go work and do everything you do according to what's right. Stand for righteousness. Occupy till Jesus comes. 7 days a week. I believe in Sabbath, friends, 24/7. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know, even when I'm sleeping, I seem to have so many holy dreams. So many dreams God speaks to me. And I think that's the way it ought to be. Dreaming about Jesus and about the church and about His coming and all those things. Wrap your whole life in a Sabbath environment is the way I think about it. Now, I want to get to exactly what God says about that. And that's found in Colossians. And a lot of you just like to say, oh, I know about that. I don't pay any attention to that. Well, good for you. Go on to hell then. If that's what you think. I paid a lot of attention to it. Listen to what it says. I said good for you. I didn't really mean that I was being smarlickly. I meant it's not very good for you. Okay, chapter 2 of Colossians. Paul again speaking here. He's going to tell you how to stay free from evil philosophy or man-made philosophies. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Don't let anybody spoil you. Friend, not too long ago, I left a boiled egg out for a couple of days, and Wanda told me to throw it in the trash can. She said, after, you know, it's going to be no good. Well, I was an idiot. I was a fool. I was hungry. One little snack went in there. Boy, I bit into that egg, and man alive, I spit that thing out. It was spoiled. Now, I have a little pet dog, pretty little white dog. We got it from the pound, they call it, you know, the Humane Society. It saved its life. It sort of saved our life in a way. We love that little dog, Wanda and I. We spoil it. I mean, it gets to sit with me all night long while I'm reading and everything. And then it sleeps with one and I and just cuddles up next to her. Yeah, we spoil that dog. It's true. We do. Just like God probably spoils me a little bit. He treats me probably a lot better than I deserve. Now, that's not the kind of spoiling God means here in this word. This means to ruin, to bring to devastation. Don't let anyone spoil you, that is devastate you, ruin you, wreck you. How? Through philosophy and vain, that means worthless. Deceit, that means cunning lies. And how can they do such a thing? Well, through the tradition of men and after the rudiments of this world, the teachings of the world and the traditions of men and not after Christ. Christ teaches us a certain thing in His Word. But men wish to go out and say, I don't want that stuff. I want what the Jews have to offer. I want what the Pope of Rome has to offer. I want those traditions. I want the Catholic Catechism. They got a whole book for me to follow. Yeah, they do. The Jews have a book too called the Talmud. That's why there's so much similarity between the Vatican and Jerusalem. They're both led by the devil. They got to have a book other than the Bible to lead men into perdition. Now listen to what it says here. What are you supposed to do then if you can't read these men's books, these traditions, and follow after them? It says, well, follow Christ. Verse 9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If His law, written in your heart, and stated in this Bible, if that's not good enough for you, you're lost. We're all lost. Verse 10 says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Oh no, I've got to have this catechism, the Catholic catechism. I've got one in my bookcase too. I bought it just so I could expose it. It's full of baloney. I have a whole audio tape expose on it. Hidden secrets in the Catholic catechism. That's right. I expose it as the teachings of men. And the Jews have also their Talmud and their Kabbalah and all the Zohar and all those things. Now listen, you are complete in Jesus and His Word. You don't need anything else. Listen to what it says here.
And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that means made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Friends, all those ordinances, all those commandments and traditions of men, he said, whack. He went to the cross, and they're gone. They're vanished. They're old. They're decayed. They wax of old. Verse 16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Wow. What if I eat the wrong kind of meat? What if I shouldn't even be eating meat? What if I should be a vegetarian? What if I'm not eating the right foods? What if I'm eating artichokes and I should only eat celery and asparagus? I don't know. Everybody has their little quirks and things. Well, you can come to me, friends, in all confidence and tell me what you eat. I may think it's just junk. My next door neighbor said he and his wife go down to some sushi restaurant and eat raw fish. I think they're out of their minds. But if they want to do some silly thing like that, well, go ahead. I went with one man, a supposed Christian, head of a prophetic ministry, to a very nice restaurant. He was paying. So I thought I'd get just what I wanted. I ordered pork chops. He said, pork chops? You eat pork? You can't do that. The Bible says don't eat pork. I said, friend, you're talking about the old covenant of the Jews. And if you want to have friends that don't eat pork, then start running around with all the Muslims. They don't eat pork. Give me those pork chops. Give me that ham. Give me that bacon. I'll chomp down on that any time. Was he going to judge me? Who was he to judge me? It says here, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. You want the weak and the beggarly elements, Paul calls them. You want to be in bondage? Then go ahead and go through all of this rigmarole and ritual. Go down to the Jewish synagogue and party with the best of them on the day of Purim. And that's what they do. They have drunken orgies and parties in their synagogues. Go on down and do that. Be a part of that hellish slavery system. Let no man judge you of the Sabbath days? Uh-oh. Tex, if you don't go to church on Sunday, you're going to hell. Well, friend, what about this where it says don't let anybody judge you in respect of the Sabbath days? Oh, well, don't pay attention to that. Somewhere else in the Bible there's some other thing, ain't there? I don't think so. I know not. Don't let anybody judge you in respect of the Sabbath days. It's only Saturday, or you're going to go straight down there to that burning hell. Well, most people who believe in Saturday only, they don't even believe in eternal hell. So there you go. I don't have a thing to worry about. I'm just going to be annihilated. There is no hell forever, even though Book of Revelation says you'll be tormented in hell forever and ever. Well, that can't be true. Forever is a period of time. Friends, please, don't be insane. Don't be a lunatic. Read Webster's Dictionary. It says forever and ever is forever and ever. I don't believe this here that we shouldn't be judged on your Sabbath days. I don't care what you believe, friend. I go back to that time I was on the most popular radio show, I understand, the state of Texas, the Paul Pryor Show, KLBJ Radio, and a guy called in. Says, I don't believe that Jesus is the only way. I think you can worship Krishna or Muhammad or anything. I said, well, in the Bible it says, Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The guy comes back and he says, well, that's your interpretation. I said, well, I didn't interpret it for you, I told him, friend. I just read it to you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
So you see, Jesus is the only way. The guy came back and said, but that's your interpretation. I said, I'm not interpreting it. I just read it to you. How do you interpret it? He says, well, I don't know, but that's your interpretation. Now, Paul Pryor, who wasn't even living a Christian life at the time, had enough sense to say, sir, Mr. Morris answered you three times. That it wasn't his private interpretation. He read it to you verbatim from the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then that's your business. But would you quit harassing my guest? And then he cut the guy off, went on to the next caller, which I thought was quite appropriate. The guy couldn't take it. Friends, if I give you a piece of watermelon to eat and you say, this is a great cantaloupe, and I say, well, sir, actually, that's watermelon. And you say, nope, it's not. It's got to be a cantaloupe because it's red. Well, I go back and I say, but watermelons are red. That's a cantaloupe. I will not accept it as a watermelon. That's your interpretation that this is a watermelon. But I say it's a cantaloupe. Well, friends, it's a watermelon. You know, the whole world has gone insane, but you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to be a nut in terms of Jesus Christ. You can be wise. Don't be wise in your own deceit, which is lying to yourself. Accept the Scriptures. You say, yeah, but I got this prophetess, or I got this prophet that told me. I read her book, I read his book. I don't care about them. They're answering to God right now, or they already have. I want you to be straight with God in His Word. So, let's just leave it at that, okay? Now, let's go to some other things. I was reading recently really a fabulous newsletter. The man, he really doesn't believe like I do about Israel, and he's been a little critical of me, but I love him anyway because he's a great King James Bible promoter. And I'm talking about Dr. Peter Ruckman. And, you know, his recent newsletter, he had some interesting things to say about the Judaizers. Dr. Peter Ruckman is founder of the Pensacola Bible College, and he's written many, many books. He says, first of all, this Yahweh, the name of God is Yahweh, is a scam. You know, he's right. This is from his Bible Believers Bulletin, July 2004. Jehovah is the name the Bible uses as a name for God. And actually, God says, I am that I am. Moses said, what should I call you? What should we call you? I am that I am. I get a lot of these people write to me and say, God's real name is Yahweh. And if you don't believe it, well, then you're going to go right on to hell. You got to have Yahweh. Friends, the King James Bible is God's pure word. Yahweh is not found in it. Did you just hear what I said? Some crazy guy put out a whole Bible and just changed the name of Jesus everywhere to Yahweh. Incredible. But, you know, the Bible warns people, you change one thing in that word, that's it. You'll have all the plagues of Revelation. You're in real, real trouble. Hey, there's more. These people are just Judaizers, or worse, even in the Old Testament, as I told you, in the Masoretic text of the Jews, they don't use Yahweh. This is an old pagan name. Now listen, Dr. Ruckman, in his Yahweh scam article, says the ignorance is popping up. Blind critics of true Christianity. This so-called Hebrew phenomena that's sweeping the Christian churches today. He says they're a bunch of Judaizers. Wow. Dr. Ruckman is sounding more like Tex Mars every day. He says, note this. They're claiming, quote, a born-again Jew is not a saved sinner. He's just a completed Jew. So you go up to one of these people and say, so you're a born-again Jew. No, I ain't a born-again Jew. I'm not a saved sinner. I'm a completed Jew. Now that's what I call pompous, fleshly arrogance. Isn't it? And old Dr. Ruckman here knocks it. Another one. They say in the Masonic Judaic Church, the Lord's Supper must be observed on the Jewish Passover date. We just read to you what Paul said. Don't let anybody judge you on the holy day.
or the festival or all the others. But they're saying, we got to have the Jewish Passover. That's the Lord's Supper. And only that can be the right day. Yeah, they're trying to bring you back into slavery. The weak and the beggarly elements. It's an accursed gospel, friends. The synagogue of Satan. Them which say they are Jews and are not, it says in the book of Revelation. And you're joining up with them. You're the prodigal son that's joining up with a citizen of a faraway land. And he's putting you in the pig pen. Read the story of the prodigal son. You'll know what you Christians that are going into Judaism. That's who you are. You're a bunch of prodigals.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.